I would like to share with us a thought, but in the form of a question, a well-placed question. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? On last week, we used as our foundational text, chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, from the book of James, and James, once again, being the half-brother of Jesus. They had the same mama, but of course, they didn't have the same daddy. And since sharing with you, my family, on last Sunday, the Holy Spirit keeps reminding me what James said specifically in verse 8, that need not be ignored as we wait for the soon coming King. And what we don't need to ignore this morning is that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded woman is unstable in all of her ways. A double-minded church is unstable in all of his ways. And during this past week, I don't know about y'all, but I continue to encounter situations and circumstances and conversations that reveal yet again that when people are double-minded, when people have not become one with God the Father, one with God the Son, one with God the Holy Ghost, when people have not yielded to the one Lord, the one faith, and the one baptism, Elder Bobby talked on this last Wednesday night. But when people have not done so, when they have not become one with Christ, the obvious outcome is a lack of stability. They're on shaky ground. And anytime, whether it's you, whether it's me, pedigree does not matter. Anytime that we've made decisions based on good data, based on what we have learned from others close to us or those who have an opportunity to influence us, if that decision does not connect with God's purpose for our lives, there is no stability to build upon, and we find ourselves engaged again and again and again and again and in a wasted exercise because we're double-minded. So this morning, I want to ask you again, who do you love? This morning, I'm also reminded of a beautiful hymn entitled The Solid Rock. And growing up in Church of God by Faith, Gainesville on 15th Street, that song would be shared usually during Sunday school. And I'm so glad this morning, y'all, that one day the hymn, The Solid Rock, it became more to me than just a song, but thank God, a lifestyle that I hope resonates with what the lyrics say. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sand. thinking, saying, family, who do you love? I ask you to consider with me this morning and to take stock of what thoughts, what consideration, what issues predominate our consciousness. As we laid down last night to regroup from the rigors of the week, and as we arose this morning to the joys, and some arose to particular challenges of this brand new day, I ask you to take a moment and think about what were your last thoughts yesterday and your first thoughts this morning. Did you go to sleep with joyful thoughts or thoughts filled with doubt? Did you wake up this morning with the spirit to praise God? Or did you arise to the spirit to complain? Here we go again. Family, the questions this morning are not rhetorical, but practical. The questions are an opportunity to reflect upon whether we are truly one with the living God, who was in the living Christ, reconciling a dying world back unto himself. The oneness that we speak of here, as so masterfully highlighted on Wednesday night. Thank you again, Elder Body. The oneness is not numerical in nature, but it speaks to the essence of being in harmony with the Father's perfect will. We, the sons and the daughters of the Most High God, we are called to walk by faith, to live in Him by faith, to move in Him by faith, to have our being in Him by faith, and to live a life that baths, that radiates in the beauty of holiness. Who do you love this morning? Who do you love? The beauty of holiness, it reflects that we have been set apart. We have been called out from the crowd. We have been called out from the rest so we can live for the best. Holiness is not about being absolutely perfect. None of us are absolutely perfect. I'm so glad that He does not call the qualified, but He qualified the call. So He has called us to be set apart. Holiness is not regulated to a particular dress code, whether or not you wear stockings or not. It's not about how many times you go to church. It's not about whether we speak or don't speak in tongues. Holiness is not about being perfect, because we are not saved by our works. Thank God for Jesus. We are not saved by our works, lest any one of us should boast, but we are saved by grace. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Through faith. Family, the beauty of holiness is reflected in a lifestyle that says that we are fully committed to the Lord Jesus. We are one. It's knowing that in spite of my sins, in spite of your sins, in spite of my shortcomings, that in spite of your shortcomings, we have been called into this beauty of holiness on Christ. The hymn keeps coming to me. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. This morning, I'm not standing on my own righteousness, that even on my best day, ain't nothing but the rag. But I'm standing on the chief cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected. I'm standing, family. We are standing on Christ, the solid rock. Who do you love? Who do you love? As I think about Psalm 27, verse 13, Sister Reva's already, she her life right now is evident of this because of how God has healed her. I just heard that wonderful testimony. Psalm 27, verse 13, David said, I had faith. If you will, I had died unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm so glad this morning that we have among us someone who will be lifted up in prayer, and this morning they can speak to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Who do you love? And the words of David should remind us that the good shepherd, hallelujah. I know David was a shepherd, but thank God he knew a village shepherd. The words of David should remind us that the good shepherd, the true king, priest, prophet, who is soon to come, has called us out of the earthly crowd into a heavenly country. The Lord Jesus is calling us out of the tribe, if you will, of a double-minded folk unto a greater cloud of witnesses who are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But if and where we have allowed our thoughts to be dominated and overwhelmed by the things of this world, we will surely miss the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this morning I speak with a clarion call unto the ecclesia, that a double-minded church, a double-minded congregation, a double-minded religious leadership, all of that is unstable in all of their ways. God is calling us out of this double-mindedness. In this new era, God's magnificent glory and power, I believe that the Holy Spirit is downloading a word to transform our mind, that now is the time to be Christ-focused and single-minded about the things of God and not the things of his word. In chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 19 through 24, we find the king, priest, prophet who is soon to come. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? For your attention this morning is verse 24 here. That's what I need for us to connect with this morning. Verse 24, Jesus speaking here. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl can serve two masters. either he will take the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the clarion call this morning is, who do you love? Who do you love? The soon coming king said some 2,000 years ago that the people of God can't serve two masters. Because either you will hate the one or you're going to love the other. So when you went to sleep last night, were you thinking about the one you love? When you woke up this morning, were you thinking about the one you love? I find that so powerful here in the text, that the Lord Jesus said that we can't have two masters. And then he told us that we couldn't serve God and man. He didn't say God and the devil. He said God and mammon. Well, what is mammon? M-A-M-M-O-N. Well, generally, it symbolizes earthly prosperity and wealth, which has taken precedence over the things of God. Oftentimes, we'll put something in context, if you will, and we'll say, well, I won't do this, I won't do that, but if you pay me this kind of money, it's a different story. Man, we can't serve God and man. We can't serve God and the love of money. We can't serve God and a preoccupation with prosperity. In my ignorance, I asked God, well, why didn't the Lord Jesus say God and Satan? And I believe that he showed me this. The reason why the Lord didn't even put Satan on the balance scales with God is because he knew, first of all, that he wasn't no competition anyway. He would never be God because God created him. Satan can never be God. But I believe, and the Holy Spirit helped me to see this, that the real problem is not necessarily with Satan, although he is an enemy. But the real problem is the enemy within us. Not the enemy without us, but the enemy within us. And Christ knew that there is something within us that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden that wants to compete with the true worship of the now living God. But they that worship the Lord must worship him, not a redeemed, but worship the Lord himself in spirit and in truth. The Lord Jesus already knew that even though the devil can suggest and may suggest anything that he wants to, at the end of the day, it's our own decision to pull the trigger to disobey God. Sometimes we're caught up in our own ego, hallelujah, our own ego, E-G-O, edging God out. We're caught up in our own ego, edging God out. But Satan has no power over us to disobey God. That's a personal choice. That's the choice of free will that lies before us each and every day. Who do you love? Who do you love? In the lifted text from Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus draws the dividing line in the sand to call our attention that the church, the true people of God, can't serve two masters. That's double-mindedness. Again, the saints of God, we can't love God and love money. We can't love God and the material things of this world. The word is already clear that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of, not money itself. Money is not the enemy, but the love of money is the root of all evil, and it is that thing. It is that thing that often causes us to become double-minded. And at the same time, I don't care how much money we get, we're still unstable in all of our ways. Family, as I close, let me ask you again, who do you love? Leave you with the words of Paul from chapter 3 of Philippians, verses 4 through 19. And though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what thing? But what thing were gained to me? Those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Hallelujah. Which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you will, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brothers and sisters, be followers together, me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemy of the cross of Christ. Whose aim? Verse 19 is powerful here. Whose aim? Hope you can hear him now. Whose aim is destruction? Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly thing? Who do you love, brothers? Who do you love, sisters? Who do you love, church? Who do you love? Let's just make it more specific. Who do you love, Church of God? By faith, who do you love?
Who do you love? Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.